Hey, hey, and welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm so glad to be with you here today, Wednesday, June the 10th. This is so interesting. Once again, the Holy Spirit is taking me in a direction that I didn't expect. Today, we're going to talk about some words from St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians. I think one of the greatest anti-anxiety verses out there. We will discuss that today. And we'll discuss the problem that sometimes results in our mind anyway, the lack of feeling of peace, right? Paul promised a peace that is beyond all understanding. And what happens is sometimes, I'm reaching for my Bible as I'm speaking now. You see, I'm really winging it today. Because as we speak, I'm realizing some things I want to make sure that I mention. But sometimes we think that, all right, I'm praying, I'm turning my problems over to the Lord, I'm going to Him, but yet I'm still not feeling the peace. And then what do? We get derailed, we start to panic, and we think that this is all a bunch of nonsense, that this prayer, this turning my problems, this surrendering to the Lord, it really doesn't matter because I'm not feeling the peace. Well, I'm here to tell you today, and I know that somebody needs to hear this message today, because my wife and I were struggling with some things today. And I told you a couple days ago, this anxiety over the coronavirus has really gotten to my wife, Eileen. But she is battling through this and really getting fired up and recognizing that the Lord is the ultimate answer to overcoming anxiety. Yes, sometimes you need medicine. Sometimes you need therapy. I get that. But ultimately, for many of us, for most of us, there is a spiritual, I would say for all of us, there is a spiritual component to this. And the devil, Satan, the evil one, that jerk, he wants to take your peace away. He wants to divide families, and he wants to keep you from praying. And one of the ways he likes to do it is by planting doubt in your mind. Oh, you're praying. It's not going to work. And then what happens? You get discouraged. So I'm not saying it always comes from the devil. Sometimes it comes from us because we are just not used to calling the Lord on His promises and saying, all right, you said, my peace be with you. Where is it? And honestly, today, this is what I had to say to Jesus. Now, I prefaced it with, I love you, but where's the peace? And I was praying for my wife because she wasn't feeling the peace. And actually, neither was I. So I think I'm going to talk about this verse today, and I'll let you know we're in a good place right now, and this really helped us to get beyond this. So if you're struggling, if you're saying, I am not feeling peace, and I'm praying, and I'm asking the Lord to heal me and help me with my problems, but I'm not feeling it, well, I don't want you to panic because you don't always feel it. And I'll explain it. It's going to sound like double talk, so I'll have to explain it carefully, but it really is an important concept for you to get. I sent my daily Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled devotional today, and it was about this verse from Philippians. One of the things that really blessed me today was I got an email from somebody who said that this verse blessed them, and this wasn't going to come about. What I said wouldn't have come about unless my wife and I had this discussion and she was struggling, and I prayed about it, and that's what came to me, this idea that peace isn't a feeling. You're not always going to feel peaceful. And I have been wrestling with this for many, many years. And it wasn't until I encountered a spiritual director who told me that sometimes you can be at peace but don't feel peaceful. I think that is such a crucial message. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I haven't even given you the verse yet, but that's what we're going to be talking about on today's show. So if you're not feeling peace and you're praying and you're beside yourself and you don't know where to turn, you came to the right place because we are going to address that head on. I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're going to take that head on, that message today. Where is my peace? I'm praying, Lord, where are you? Right? We're going to take that on, and I feel confident that we have an answer. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to depend on you because you're the one that has to have the answer. But hey, I hope you're doing well. Hope you're having a good day. Hope you're not stressed out about anything today. But if so, we're gonna address it. And really, Jesus Christ, He is the answer. He is the answer for your peace if you just stick by Him. My name is Gary Zimek. This is Following the Truth. If you want to find out more information about my work or maybe sign up for my daily email devotional, all you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com. And you can find out all the information about me that you need. All right, we are about... Oh, I've got some water in my cup. I need to take a sip. I'm already fired up. I was so fired up. I had a great discussion with my wife. We prayed during the hour of mercy today. And we really... She's been struggling with this for a long time. And she gave me permission. I could talk about this on the air. She's been really struggling with this anxiety thing for a long time. And look, she lives with me, the guy who's written all the books, who talks about this all the time, somebody who has struggled through panic attacks. And I've been there, done that, you know, all that jazz. But this has been very, very difficult for her. And if you've ever struggled with anxiety or panic attacks, you know that sometimes it is way beyond reason. You can't reason your way out of it because your body is going nuts. And right now, look, with this pandemic, this is a control freak's nightmare. This is the perfect storm for anybody who likes to be in control and who struggles to surrender to God. This is the perfect storm. But it's also an opportunity. And this is what I told my wife today when we were talking earlier. I said, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to really practice trust. And me too. Because, you know, as I try to help her, as I try to make sure my kids are okay and everybody's calm and everybody's moving in the right direction and we're focusing on God and letting Him help us with our daily lives, what happens is I get distracted. I have writing obligations. I have radio to do. And I got to be careful, too, that my peace isn't disturbed so much that it takes away from my work. So the devil's trying to break up families. And again, I'm not going to be here saying it's all the devil. I don't know what's the devil, what's not the devil, but I do know this. If he takes away your peace, and you might be afraid to go out of the house, to go to church, or you stop praying, he's going to be really happy about that. Again, I don't claim to know when the devil is attacking, when the devil's not attacking, but I do know this. He hates you, he hates the Lord, and he wants to keep you apart from God. He doesn't want you to pray. So if he can keep you living in fear, especially imaginary fear, because the devil specializes in that, planting doubt in your mind, doubting God's goodness, doubting his providence, doubting his power. If the devil can keep you from trusting in God, he's going to be really happy. So you know what we say to Satan around here? You got it. Go to hell, Satan, in Jesus' name. And I feel fully confident in saying that, and I recommend you say it, because it feels really good, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm feeling pretty good now. I'm glad to be hanging out with you for this time. Let's pray. Let's turn. I have to laugh because, you know, sometimes I do get fired up. And when I pray, I get really fired up, especially when it comes to the Lord not coming through. You know, sometimes he needs a little nudge. You give him that nudge. You wake him up. He's a sound sleeper. The storm at sea, what happened when he was sleeping on the cushion and his apostles were floundering and fearing for their lives? They had to wake him up. He doesn't wake up because of the storms of life. Why? Because he's in control. He doesn't freak out when the seas are rough and the waves are pounding the boat. He can sleep on his cushion. But the minute his followers, his disciples, his children cry out to him, he's going to wake up. And you know, sometimes you got to yell pretty loud because he's a sound sleeper. And Lord, please forgive me if people are going to yell at me, at you because of me. But I want anybody listening to this to understand that I love Jesus Christ. I love him. He drives me crazy at times. But we've been through a lot together. And boy, he has bailed me out time after time after time again. I'm gonna firmly anchor my wagon to the Jesus train. I really am. Yeah, I'm in this for the long haul with him, and he's gonna get you through it. So anyway, let's pray. Let's turn to our Lord Jesus Christ now. Let's praise him and give him all glory and honor as we begin. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are all powerful. You are all loving. You are my friend. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. Lord, sometimes we call you Lord, and yet we aren't willing to obey you. Lord means you're the boss. Lord means you're the master. I'm the slave, the servant. You call the shots, not me. Lord, I surrender to you today. I ask you to lead me, to use me as your instrument, to give me your peace. You said, peace be with you. My peace I give you. Well, I want it. And on behalf of everyone who is praying with me right now, we want that peace. We ask you to pour out that peace on us. Lord Jesus, send us a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit today. Awaken the Spirit in us so that we can be delivered from a spirit, from any spirit of fear, of doubt, of despair, and be filled with confidence and joy because your Spirit is in us. Come, Holy Spirit, work through me today on this program. Give me the words. Let me preach the message that you have in mind today. Help me get out of the way. Give me the words. Open our hearts. Open our minds. And inspire us so that we are willing to put your words into practice. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we ask these things, these intentions, in your name. We make this request to our Father in heaven through you, Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah, I'm fired up. You better watch it today because I don't know what I'm going to say. I got to watch myself. Hey, so for the past couple of days, we've been talking about the prophet Elijah. And today, there's a little gap in, if you're looking at the Mass readings from today's Daily Mass, there's a little bit of a gap when it comes to Elijah. We the church... And the church will do this sometimes. The church will skip certain parts of the story because of the Bible, because the church is trying to lead us down a certain path with to follow a certain narrative. So the part that was skipped today, between yesterday and today, was when you remember that God sent Elijah to Zarephath to be provided for by a widow, and that was happening, that was taking place. But then the part that skipped today, or the part that we skipped today by looking at the readings, is shortly thereafter, the widow's son got sick, and she blamed Elijah. She blamed the prophet, your God, because, and obviously she was guilty of some sin. She was a pagan. She didn't worship the God of Israel. She was a pagan, and she was annoyed that because it was almost as if the prophet came in her house, and then God took notice of her, of the fact that she didn't worship him and made her son become sick. That seemed to be her thought process, right? And she blamed Elijah, and blamed him for coming along and for causing her to suffer. Now, she wasn't right about this, but she was blaming him for this. And I'm trying to think, should I? Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can find this. As we talk, I'm going to flip through my Bible. You see, sometimes I don't plan on this show. I really don't know exactly what I'm going to say. I really do depend on the Spirit, but I go where the Spirit leads. So, Elijah went to Zarephath. The woman provided for him, and 1 Kings 17, beginning in verse 17. This is the part that was skipped at if you went to Daily Mass and read the readings. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill, and his illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So he was dying. He was dead, basically. And she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance." So obviously she knew that she was a little off the path. "And to cause the death of my son." So she blamed him. She blamed Elijah. And in indirectly blaming God, which is what a lot of us do. God, how can you do this to me? Why are you putting me through this? Don't you care? And Elijah looked at her and he said to her, "Give me your son." And he took him, carried him into the upper chamber where he lodged, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity, even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" So Elijah's kind of crying out to the Lord, saying, "Yo, pal, what's up? What's with this? What are you doing?" You know what? That's an honest prayer, and one that God responds to. I'm not telling you to be disrespectful. I'm telling you, if you need to get mad at Jesus, if you need to get mad at the Father for you because you don't think he's providing, if you need to get mad at the Holy Spirit, go ahead and do it. He wants your honesty. Don't play games with him. Don't sweep your anger under the rug, because you're never going to grow in faith unless you do that. Can you tell I'm a little fired up today? I'm feeling good. You know, I'm feeling good today because I believe this. I don't waste my time preaching about the Lord. I'm not going through the motions. I believe it can help you. And I want you to believe what I believe. But you know what? Sometimes I forget too. Sometimes I get fed up. And I get complacent. And I get lulled to sleep. My spiritual life kind of wanes a little bit. And I start thinking, oh, I'll just pray. I'll just ask for help. And then other times I get fired up and say, Lord, where are you? This is what Elijah's doing. And wait till you see how it turns out here. And he cried to the Lord. No wimpy prayer here. He cried to the Lord. Why have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? He's getting mad at God. She gets mad at Elijah. Elijah gets mad at God. But at least he's talking to him. See that? He's talking to him. He's praying. Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this child's soul come into him again. Now this isn't the prayer of somebody who lacks faith. This is the prayer of somebody who has faith. Because if he didn't have faith, he wouldn't be that adamant. He wouldn't be praying for that child to be raised from the dead, which is really what's happening here. The kid's dead. And the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. Do you hear that? He listened to him. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. If you are praying wimpy prayers with no confidence, don't expect to get results. And sometimes we have to get mad. You know, if you're praying for something and it's been a long time, you better start reminding God of his promises. Don't give up on him. No ultimatums. No, if you don't give this to me today, I'm not praying for you. That's not the way to show your love for him. But get mad at him and remind him. Hey, Lord, you said all things are possible. You said you'd never leave me. Well, I'm not feeling you. Where are you? That's a valid prayer. And the Lord loves that kind of passion. You know, sometimes I think we let him off the hook too easy. Oh, I prayed for 3 days for this and it didn't happen, so I guess I'm going to have to stop. No, you're not going to stop. Are you kidding me? What kind of God do you have? If your problems look too insurmountable, your problems look too big, I got news for you. Your God's too small. You got a big God. And we need to remember that. The Lord listened, and Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. How about that? And what did the woman say? The woman said, now I know you are a man of God, and that the word of your Lord, of the Lord in your mouth is truth. Guess what? We have a conversion here. We have a pagan that came to believe in the one true God. You see, this can happen. This is what happens when you exercise your faith. So if you need something in your life, you go to the Lord and you ask him. You demand what you need. You know, you could put in there, thy will be done. And we got to respect his timing. But don't lose heart with your prayers, because he will answer when the time is right. Sometimes you got to force them a little bit, okay? So anyway, today in the first reading, I'm not going to read it, but we see the story of Elijah really putting God, I don't want to say to the test, but really giving him a chance to demonstrate his power. And it had a big effect. It had a big effect today. We see that in the first reading. So if you get a chance, read the first reading from today's Mass. It is from, let me see, it's from Elijah, I'm sorry, it's from 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Of course, now I lost my place now that I'm saying that. It's 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. So read through that, and I'm going to get this for you. Wait, let me just stay with me. Stay with me. We're planning this show on the fly here. Tuesday, it's Wednesday, right? Today's Wednesday. 1 Kings chapter 18, it's not verse 1, it's verses 20 through 39. 1 Kings 18, 20 through 39. Read about it, and this is an example of what can happen when God wants to display his power. And you know, the reason Elijah went through this little incident with the woman was probably so his faith could be strengthened, so he could pray for this even bigger display of God's power in front of all these false prophets. And he really had to take a stand and put himself in more hot water with the king, by the way. But that's another point. Anyway, let me get to what I was really going to talk about today. But wasn't that a good story about Elijah praying with confidence like that? Okay, so what's this? I'm going to read the entire, let's see, here's the verse. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Have no anxiety about anything. These are the words of St. Paul, right? Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So in other words, don't be anxious and worry, but instead of worrying, present your prayers to the Lord. Prayer and supplication, ask for what you need, with thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. You can say that, because you know he hears your prayer. You know he answers. Sometimes the answer is, wait, not yet. Sometimes the answer is no, sometimes it's yes. You know, but not yet is a valid answer. He's going to answer, so you can thank him. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So instead of worrying about your problems, give them to the Lord. Lord, take away my anxiety. Cure my cancer. He can do it. Does he always know? But he can. Why not give him the chance? I got kids. My twins are 22 years old. They had a 10% chance of being born alive. So I've seen a miracle. They're healthy. God granted a miracle. I prayed for him. Did I always feel that he was going to come through? No, there was a lot of times I doubted. That's a lot to ask for. But you know what? Now I got stronger faith because I've seen what he can do. Don't sell the Lord short. Give him a chance. If you got a problem in your life, present it to him. Don't worry about it. What good's that going to do? It's going to do no good. But yet so many of us do that. So many of us are lulled into this comfortable Christianity where we just kind of like, oh, it's a good thing to go to church on Sunday. It's what I'm supposed to do. I'm kind of a good person. No. Read the Acts of the Apostles if you want to see what real faith is about. God can do miracles in your life, but you've got to give him a chance. You've got to let the Holy Spirit fire you up and let the Spirit work through you. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. So when you pray like this, St. Paul said in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So if you don't worry about your problems, you present them to the Lord, right, with thanksgiving, then his peace, which surpasses all understanding, will fill your heart. Okay, so, and this is really what I wanted to get to talk about. Of course, I'm doing this at the end of the show, but this is what I wanted to talk about today. So what happens if you're doing that? I'm praying, Lord, about my problems, but I don't feel peaceful. You're a liar, right? Don't you think that way sometimes? Well, wait a minute. He said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where's my peace? I don't feel it. I'm praying, right? Have you ever been there? I've been there. It happens. And this is why, and it's so funny because I've talked about this before, and I've used the example given to me by my spiritual director when he said, sometimes you can be at peace but not feel peaceful. And the first time I heard that, I thought, wow, that's a bunch of double talk, right? It sounds lame, doesn't it? You can be at peace but not feel peaceful. Well, guess what? You can. And just the other day when I was meditating on this verse, it came to me, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will fill your hearts and your minds. It surpasses all understanding, which means that you can't understand it sometimes, which means that you can be at peace and not even know it. Well, that's deep, right? It's deep, but it's good. Because what that means is you can be at peace and not feel peace. Peace isn't a feeling. I'd like to tell you it is. I don't always feel peaceful, but I know in my mind that I'm at peace because I'm doing the Lord's will and that he can fix my problem and that he heard my prayer. And eventually what I've seen happen, I've noticed this to be the case, is that your heart catches up with your head at some point. And you can feel the peace, but you don't always feel it as soon as you pray. But you can be at peace, because this peace is bigger than your understanding. The Holy Spirit's, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is peace. So you got the Spirit. The Spirit's peaceful in you, but you might not feel it in your humanity. I know that's funky, but what I, you know what I hope? I hope it gives you, I hope, my wish is that it fills you with hope and gives you some comfort. Because if you're not feeling the peace, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It just means that the peace sometimes starts out in your head and you realize that, well, I've done what I can. And I believe by faith that God just heard my prayer. And I believe that he has answered and might give me another answer in the future. And I'm peaceful about that, but I am still not feeling the peace, right? Be at peace, but not necessarily feel the peace. I want you to think about that, because that's what you're going to need to restore your hope when you pray for something and you're still feeling butterflies in your stomach and you're not feeling peace. It's not about feelings. Feelings come and go. Peace is bigger than feelings. And I know you might not want to hear that, but if you give it enough time, you let it sink in, you really spend a little time thinking about that, that should make you feel better. That you don't always have to get that giddy, happy feeling when you pray and when you bring your intentions to the Lord. But you're going to have that confidence, even coexisting with your feelings of fear. That confidence that God is powerful, he can handle your problem, he's heard you, and he's working on it. But he works according to his own schedule. Okay, so that's the message today. We talked a little bit about Elijah. We talked about Paul and that giving up to the Lord. But continue to bring your problems to the Lord. Don't waste your time worrying about them. It's going to do no good. That's my message for today. I don't know what we're going to talk about on tomorrow's show, but I really hope you'll be able to tune in. I'll see where the Spirit leads. If you have any questions, any comments, you need extra prayers, please shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. And as we close the program today, I'm going to ask you to help me out. I need your help to keep this program on the air. Can you help me financially? I need your support. Followingthetruth.com. You click on donate and you can take it from there. If you would do that for me, I would be very grateful. I'm going to be praying for you. God bless you. And God willing, we'll see you tomorrow on Following the Truth.